Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He's speaking to us from my hometown of Calgary. Welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you again, Jim. My pleasure.
Joseph, your eye on energy. What is going on there? It seems like we have depressed prices in natural gas. Is LNG going to be obsolete for the time being? What's the story there?
Well, I think that you got to look at LNG from a continental point of view. We've had a warmer than normal winter, and you had storage not come down as much as it normally should during a regular winter. So there's a significant excess capacity in storage right now, both on both sides of the border. For example, the EIA data today came out showing a withdrawal last week of 60 BCF to 2.47 trillion cubic feet in storage. That compares to 2.2 trillion in storage a year ago, so it's 12% higher than a year ago. The one that's disconcerting to the market and the reason why prices have weakened is on the five-year average, it should only be 2.0 trillion cubic feet in storage. So that compares the 60 to a year ago, 100 BCF coming out, and the five-year average, 128 coming out. So we had colder weather a year ago and the five-year average normally, so the volumes are there. So we're seeing weaker prices now, but heading into late 2024-25, the futures are indicating that prices will improve. So right now, because of the glut, you're seeing hedge fund operators shorting the price of natural gas. But we're down to the point where companies are now saying that they're going to slow their drilling for natural gas-focused wells, focus on their oil and liquids, condensate liquids wells, and the money that comes in from them will be so strong at $78 WTI, where we are today, that even if they may make minuscule money from the byproduct natural gas, it's not going to hurt the overall economics. So by the end of this year, though, we're looking at, more LNG takeaway capacity in the U.S., and we're looking at LNG Canada starting to fill the pipeline, the Coastal Gas Link, with gas to put into storage so that they can start shipping LNG to Asia sometime in the early part of 2025. So we're in a period where we have two, three quarters here of, pretty lousy commodity prices. But part of the positive is, if you're patient, the stocks are so cheap. So when we get into a $3 handle in 2025, many of the stocks that we watch in the natural gas focused area probably have doubles and triples in them over the next 2 to 3 years. And on the oil side, with TMX starting up, at some point in my lifetime, hopefully in Q2 of 2024, given all the hassles they've gone through and travails they've had, we're going to see an increase in volumes there, a tightening of the Western Canadian Select discount, and that should provide more cash flow to the oil and gas companies, which, of course, would help the sector. But stocks in the sector are cheap. Today they're having a nice bounce because of the $78.50 price on WTI, so it's up about 60, 70 cents today, but also because you have very, very strong stock market. So people are looking for areas that are cheap, and energy is one of the cheap sectors out there right now.
We have governments mandating that ICE vehicles can't be sold, new ones. You have to go electric in a few years. Has that thrown a lot of doubt and insecurity into the petroleum business?
Well, the issue is simply is how are you going to create the electricity? And if we're not doing coal, and every, you know, we're totally getting away from it. Hydro, you know, BC is limited, Quebec is limited with a hydro, so we're going to have to go to cogen, which is natural gas, while we're still building a lot of renewables. But remember, if the wind doesn't blow, that's a problem. If you got a lot of cloudy skies, you're not going to have solar. So those are interruptibles, and so we need to have something that's reliable and consistent, and cogen means natural gas. And so we think that, you know, you will be seeing more use of natural gas over time, which for electricity, and the game plan, you know, some of these projects coming on the west coast of Canada for LNG, we're supposed to be talking about using electricity, but it might be, you know, via, you know, the BC Hydro. That's not likely. It's probably going to be electricity generated from natural gas. So I think the long-term story for natural gas is there. More natural gas is going to be used in, you know, the chemical industry in the Edmonton area. Dow Chemical is putting a new facility in there, one of the biggest in the world. So the long-term story for in both oil and natural gas is still very, very positive. It's just, you know, from the natural gas side, we have a sloppy market now at $78 U.S., with you know, $1.35 Canadian conversion, that's the equivalent of Canadian companies getting $100 a barrel for their oil Canadian, which is a wonderful, wonderful price, and why companies that are reporting are showing very good numbers from their liquid side, even though the numbers showing from the natural gas side are disappointing.
Also, these anti-fossil fuel people, do they have any idea how many products rely on petroleum? I'm just looking at my office. Everything was delivered by a truck that uses diesel, or it's made out of plastic that came out of the ground.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know all these climate change people who went off to Davos, you know, they went in private jets, they stayed in hotels, most of them own multiple homes around the world with their private jets going back and forth, and you know, their use of carbon is much greater, you know, 10, 20, 30 times than the average consumer. And, you know, they're trying to dictate to us what we should do when they, you know, it's not a thing where I'll lead by example. It's like, you know, they're saying dictate to everyone else, and they're going to do whatever they want on their own, ignoring the arguments they're making on the climate. So it's totally hypocritical. You know, our prime minister is guilty of it. Our environment minister is guilty of it. They all seem to want to tax us and force us to do what they want, and they're not going to do it themselves, which is why I think the liberal, you know, popularity is as low as it is. And sometime in the next year, there'll be an election, and we'll see how Canadian voters do, or do the liberals do their typical divide and conquer with different, you know, groups, and then, you know, just like they did with you know, Atlantic Canada with the removal of the carbon tax for home heating, you know, we'll see, you know, them play games for different parts of the country to regain the support, which, you know, is something they're going to need, because right now it means a significant defeat based on the polls that we see today, you know, on a regular basis.
Now, I know the Trudeau government likes to talk about carbon tax rebates. British Columbians don't qualify because we have a provincial carbon tax. It's been in effect for over a dozen years, brought in by the Gordon Campbell Liberals. And there's only been 1 year where emissions went down, and that was due to recession. The emissions have only gone up because SkyTrain and public transit only serve a small segment of British Columbia. If you're outside of Vancouver City proper, you need a car.
Yeah, and you know, the environment minister is saying we're not going to pay for any more roads. Well, number one, as we bring in more and more immigrants, they're going to have a place to stay. They're going to, you know, and especially if you want to move them into non-major cities, they're going to need to have a car to drive around. And, you know, if you want to start distributing more in the outside community so that you kind of move the density of population away from the major centers, all of that is going to require more energy, be it electricity, be it auto, you know, usage, you know, and the biggest problem of all is they talk a good story of where they want to go with EVs, but there is not enough charging stations in this country, not enough in any of the major cities to justify people taking the risk of buying an EV. And you don't have the, you know, the financial incentives in Canada that you do in other countries to buy an EV. So EVs are much more expensive than a gasoline model. And you look at the, you know, the producers of the cars, GM, Ford, you know, Chrysler, and they're all announcing massive losses on every car they try to sell of an EV nature. And if you go into the lot and show any interest, they're going to give you a big discount because they want it off the lot.
And then there's the life of the battery, 10 years. And we're hearing the horror stories of people who buy an EV worth $50,000. The battery gets dinged accidentally, not covered by insurance. And it costs $60,000 to replace.
Oh yeah, I don't. You know, those numbers can move around on the yeah. replacement depending upon who's the manufacturer. But it just shows you that you know, in some countries, I think I think some of the producers in China are now doing it where they sell you the car and they rent you the battery. And if there's a battery problem, you go in and they just pump out and take the old one out and put in a new one, and you can keep on paying your rent. You know, like you would if you were in a, you know, if you had a mortgage. So. You know, there's going to be a need to expand the range. Everybody's, you know, there's still a lot of range anxiety. Some of the Chinese companies like BYD are talking about 500 mile, you know, per charge in places where the weather's warm. And you know, if you do that, try to do that in Calgary in the winter time, in the worst of winter, you may have a charge that may only take you 100, 150 miles. And there's been horror stories about that, where the charge goes and a lot quicker than you know, the reported announcements by the companies as they get you to buy the vehicle.
And if you have something that's not a Tesla, like a little Nissan Leaf, it'll tell you you have 100 miles or 160 Ks, 140 Ks range, but in the cold, it's knocked down to 50 Ks.
Yeah. And I know people who've mentioned that to me, and you know they're nervous of saying, you know, okay, can I go between Edmonton and Calgary and charge up in Red Deer, or go the whole distance? In the summertime, they might make the whole distance, but they definitely can't do it in the wintertime. And of course, that means finding a charging station, and there aren't that many in Red Deer and also in Calgary and Edmonton. You know, you've got to. They're not easily found, and then if you put a home charger in, you know, do you get the voltage up to what you need, and what is that going to do to your home electricity bill?
Well, I wouldn't be worried about the home electricity bill, because I calculated a few years ago what cost you $7 in gas would be about 75 cents in electricity, so a bit more. But you know, eventually, governments, when they see gasoline tax revenue drop because people have gone to EVs, they're going to start charging you by the kilometer for your usage to help pay for things that gasoline taxes used to pay for.
Yeah, we still need the roads, and if they don't have the revenues maintaining the roads, forget about even growing the road system, just maintaining the, because of all the potholes and everything that we get every year, the revenues that are coming in are not sufficient to take care of that. And that's where I think people are going to have the wake up, and the governments are going to have the wake up saying, okay, if we want to keep our standard of living as we have it, we're going to have to find new financing methods. And if you look at property taxes, you know, insurance has gone up, so you know the cities are asking for way more increases in property taxes and wage increases in the government sector are faster and higher, you know, growth than they are in the private sector. So, you know, everything that government is doing is going to be more costly. And of course, they then go and tap the consumers. And at some point, the consumers are rebelling. In Alberta and Calgary, there's a big, move to have a recall of the mayor. And, they need a large number. I don't know if it's 500,000 people signing for it. But there's a lot of advertising and a lot of people talking about it, so they're getting people to sign the recall.
Well, don't give hope on the recall, because in British Columbia under Christy Clark, there was a recall where they had to get a huge proportion of voters in every riding to say, please stop the harmonized sales tax, go back to GST and PST, because the harmonized tax was on everything except, I think, feminine hygiene goods and baby diapers. And they did end up repealing the law. But here's the deal. It took them almost 2 years to repeal it, even though the legislation could have been done in 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, here, I think there's a deadline for them to get it, so they're working away on it. So, who knows if they're going to get it, but I think the pressure is on city council to listen to the voters, and the voters are not happy with the spending and the increases in property tax and the way wage increases and benefits and pensions are in the government sector, in the city sector, versus what's going on in the oil and gas industry, where, you know, there's mergers going on, which means there's layoffs. Downtown still has large and a lot of B and C space empty, it's problematic.
I would like to see a moratorium on municipal officials traveling internationally. I haven't seen one come back from an international conference yet with, oh, here's an innovative idea that's going to save the taxpayers locally millions.
Oh, no. They're either boondoggles paid for by NGOs or by governments in internationally. You know, Taiwan's done it for years to get support around the world for their cause and independence. But, you know, we're seeing the same thing happening in many countries in Europe that are, that are trying to get people to come in, there's NGOs and others that are paying for it. And then you wonder, where did the NGOs get their money? And governments are giving it to them. It's incestuous.
The mayor of New Westminster, where I live, is under scrutiny because he took NGO money. He never told city council he was going off to the major environmental conference that there could be global warming. We're not disputing the climate is changing, but to think humans can have any effect on it, I think, is arrogant.
Well, to think that a local, a fellow from New Westminster is going to have an ability to tell China and India, you guys got to get off coal, and that's going to be a way to measure quickly that there's going to be, an impact on the climate. So it's totally despicable the boondoggles are occurring when, you know, the need is clearly has to be China and India making a decision that they're not going to build more coal-fired facilities. And, you know, China, I think, is adding one a week.
How much of the world's so-called greenhouse gases does Canada contribute?
Oh, we're minuscule, a few percentage. But remember, we use more gasoline and heating oil because of our climate. So we use more per capita than they do in the States or other countries in Europe, but our distances and our cold climate for a big part of the year is the reason why we're a per capita much higher use than other countries. And that's, again, something that is not going away because our climate is our climate.
Well, the politicians making the decisions are in big cities like Toronto. In fact, Toronto is everything. Yeah, they have a really good public transit system. Get outside Toronto. Go to Sudbury.
Yeah, well, wherever you go outside of the major cities, but think about it from where is the population of Ontario? It's the 416-905 area codes, and that's where the Prime Minister kowtows, and that's where the Premier of Ontario kowtows. That's where the density of population is. That's where the votes are. And if somebody bitches in Kingston, doesn't get the noise level versus somebody like the Mayor of Toronto raising her angst about something.
We'll have more with Joseph Schachter right after this.
Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Joseph Schachter. Joseph, what's the state of the energy sector in Alberta?
Well, it's a tale of two cities. Those that are focused on oil and condensate and liquids are doing quite well, given, the Canadian dollar, where it is. So, that's a bump up of 35% to the price you're getting in U.S. dollars. So $78 turns into over 100 Canadian. So they're doing very well on the production that they're doing for oil. They're not doing so well on natural gas, and natural gas companies are probably going to have terrible results that are focused on natural gas and don't have a lot of liquids in their mix, are probably going to report very disappointing comparisons to last year. And that's where you've got the problem for the city. The mergers are also occurring, and that's going to cause some job losses. Mergers also mean, you don't need as much office space. So, the city of Calgary downtown is picking up. Restaurants are picking up. Tourism is picking up. Migration into the province. We have one of the highest migration because of the affordability of housing compared to other major cities in Canada. We have a lot of positives, but we also have quite a few negatives. And so it's depending upon where you are in the economy and where your revenue comes from or where your job is. You're either a happy camper or not a happy camper. So it's a mixed situation here, but I think we see that all across Canada.
Joseph, anything we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I think the decisions coming out of LNG Canada to FID their second train is going to be important for the growth of our LNG on the West Coast. Also, decisions by the BC government supporting First Nations, supporting more projects on there. And then the issue, I would say, on the federal is, what's going to happen with the budget? What's going to happen with taxes? And, are we looking at increased taxes at the federal level, given the substantial budget deficits that they have and that, don't look like they're going away, especially heading into another election year? So I think the crimp on consumers between, food inflation, gasoline prices going up, taxes going up, it's going to have an impact on people. And one of the wild cards, of course, is those homeowners that had mortgages 2-3 years ago at 2% and now renewing at, 5-6%, that's going to be a massive crunch on their cash flows and an impact on their consumer spending patterns. And just look at the fourth quarter results from Canadian Tire. They reported horrible results for the Q4 number. Profits fell 68%, while sales fell 6.8% because consumers stopped spending money on their homes and upgrading. And, I think, when we see more and more of retail reports coming for Q4, there's going to be a few winners, but there's going to be more losers.
Yeah, fewer appliances being bought, but much more duct tape to make your own repairs.
Yeah, it depends upon where you put the duct tape, so be careful there.
Well, apparently duct tape is good for a lot of things, but air ducts is not one of them.
Yeah, I would expect that, yes. We do need to have your heating duct from your dryer heading to the outside of the house.
Needs to be a proper repair. Duct tape won't do it.
Yeah. Okay, buddy, that should do it, and, I think people should be looking at the energy sector. I think there are great bargains out there now, and I think you want to have some decent component of energy in your portfolios for the long term. I'm in the camp that expecting $90 WTI by the end of this year, but I think heading into 2026 and 28 area, I think we'll be north of 100 on a regular basis, which is going to create lots of opportunity for investors. And the stocks are trading at, 2-3 times cash flow. Cash flow will rise significantly because of the commodity price rise, but then also production volumes will go up and multiples will expand from 2-3 times to 5-7 times like they've done in historic cycles. So the bargains are in energy, and right now AI is flying high.
Thank you so much, Joseph.
My pleasure as always, Jim.
My guest has been Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He was speaking to us from Calgary. If you have any questions for Joseph or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.